What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Stuff, things.
What are you guys doing?
World Series going down.
Can I just say that was a 10 out of 10 ahoy? That was a really good ahoy.
I brought some juice.
Extra pizzazz today.
Hey, can you clip it then? If that's the perfect ahoy, can you put it?
I'll put it on the board. I think that was a really good ahoy.
Yeah. Because then when Suk's not here, I can play that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then people won't even know he's not here.
When I'm dead and gone, there'll be an AI ahoy coming at you.
Mm.
From the grave. Oh, that'd be a little weird.
That's going to be happening a lot, I feel like. You know, speeches from people who have passed, music from people who have passed.
Well, they were doing that with commercials now. And, you know, who was it? Someone, was it Robert Downey Jr.?
He's alive.
No. But someone was saying that he's going to start suing because I guess people are taking, I think it was Robert Downey Jr. People were taking him and doing political ads as AI Robert Downey Jr. And some of them are so good now, it's kind of hard to tell. And he said that he was putting anyone on notice that he's going to start suing. He goes, I don't care if it's costing me money. He goes, we're not going down this road. Like, we're going after people.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, look, it's a sticky situation because there's a lot of people that are like, you're really going to hire a lawyer to come after me and spend money? And his thing was, yes,
well,
I am.
He's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money.
He doesn't care.
No. I got a buddy of mine that... He works with a lot of private equity firms, and he unfortunately has learned the hard way that a lot of these guys, this is their strategy, this is their MO, is they just don't pay you. Or you agree to, you know, and you were talking big money here, millions of dollars. And so, like, your fee for something, your portion will be, let's say, $3 million, and they'll come to you and be like, we're going to give you $700,000. And the person, and they're like, well, no, we've got it in writing. They're like, cool, sue us. And their idea is... you won't have the time or money to fight them. And eventually you'll just accept the $700,000 as opposed to fight it out for years. And so this has kind of become his thing, as he does have the money and he's got the time and he fights them. And not only does he win, but he wins attorney fees and all this other stuff. But he goes, it takes years. And their thing is, if they do this 1,000 times over and they only get a handful of people that fight him, they still end up way out ahead. It's kind of it's the ultimate D move, and yet it's kind of brilliant in a real S bag sort of way.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that brilliant, but
well, I mean, it's
effective.
It's cutthroat and effective. How about that?
It's effective. That's what Trump does.
Yeah,
they
don't pay.
He just won't pay.
And as long as you don't fear litigation and you've got attorneys, you're like, yeah, that's all right.
Well, we've got some issues going on here at the Fan.
Oh yeah.
We got to bring it to the people.
It's happened again.
It has happened again.
Yeah.
We are, you know...
And there's a possible cover-up going on. Can we state that?
A couple of them.
Yeah,
I
feel like something may be going down.
We moved from the South Waterfront over to Northwest Portland. You know, guys, we're in Slab Town now.
Yes.
That's where we sit.
Yes.
As we broadcast to you. What did we say? Under the... in the shadows of the 405 bridge?
Yes, we're the trolls of the Portland radio scene living under the bridge. What is your favorite radio
trolls
station?
Of the Metropolitus.
Yes. That's what we do. We watch under the Metropolitus.
Our
Guardians.
New place here... Our old place was under lock and key.
Yeah.
And so is the new place. Mm-hmm. But what I will tell you about our new place is, you know, COVID and economy and...
It's thinned out.
Things. We've basically fired everyone. We have 20, maybe 30 people that work here.
There's not many.
And there used to be 125.
Yes.
Okay, so we have thinned the herd.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only so many suspects.
Yes.
And at this point, everyone is a suspect,
mm-hmm.
okay, including myself.
Yeah.
Because there is tape.
Yeah, there's reckoning coming.
There's tape. I mean, this stuff's all on camera, so we can go back.
If anyone would recall there's tape here, it would be me.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, Buckley. Believe me, you know who
I bet my name came up.
You know who I'm pointing the finger at. And I'm telling you, I think there's a devious reason why I'm pointing the finger at you.
So here's what happened. Souk lent his travel golf bag to Joe Fisher.
Yeah, I've done it several times. Joe is now in a hot and heavy, purely sexual relationship with my gal's best friend. Whoa. Therefore, me and Joe are in some sort of weird bromance thing happening to where he feels comfortable asking me to use my golf travel bag. And because...
Well, better you than me.
Well, I know, and it's a little weird, but because he's doing horrible things to my gal's best friend, I feel obligated to lend him my golf bag. And I've done this several times, and it's been returned no problems. Until recently. The plot has thickened.
Yeah, so I saw it over there.
Yeah.
There's a little kind of wall behind our studio.
Yeah.
And no one goes back there, but... He put it back there.
Yeah, and he's done that before, and then it's like, one of these days I'll bring it back.
And you can see it if you come all the way over to our studio, just sitting there, and I noticed that it had been there, maybe the last week or two.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had noticed it before, and I've always wondered, like, what is that? Well, I didn't know until today that that was yours.
Yeah, it was my trouble.
I just figured somebody was swapping, maybe carrying a body out or something.
I would think so.
I don't ask questions.
No, it's probably for the best.
Until I'm in, need to know. And so I learned today that golf bag that was sitting there, you never took it home.
No.
And
well, it was always one of those that I would see it on my, because you can only see it when you're walking into the studio. And I would see it and I'd be like, oh yeah, I got to take that home. But then when you're leaving the studio at night, you don't see it because your back's to it. And so I forgot about it. And I was like, oh, it was no big deal. It was there until last week when I was like, oh yeah, I wrote a note for myself on my phone, get the travel bag, because there's a chance coming up in the end of November, beginning of December, I may be taking a golf trip. So I was like, oh, remember to grab that. And when I came in, no golf bag.
Okay, so it's been stolen.
Yes.
And we have long detailed at the old place on South Waterfront and... Here, we have detailed very serious bouts of theft within the company.
Yes.
One guy back at the old place, he was a really up-and-coming good producer.
Yeah.
And he stole a bunch of CDs.
And CDs and like some sort of janky like handheld camera thing.
And
like,
got turfed.
Like $150 worth of stuff.
Yeah. And got turf for it.
Yeah.
Ruined his career.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Maybe he's like super rich and famous now. I'm not sure. But... The other one here, Ryan Buckley, caught on camera stealing energy drinks from the...
Even though there was a note on the energy drink telling people that it belonged to someone.
And... No, there was a previous email that went out and all that,
Look at Buck trying.
Caught red-handed.
Yeah, caught red-handed.
So anyway, we just went into a meeting with our boss about something unrelated.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I am disturbed by what I heard in there.
I think there is an active cover-up going on.
Listen... Somebody stole your golf bag.
Yes.
And it is not going to be hard to figure out who it is.
No.
Because we have tape that we can go back and look at.
And there's 20 people that work here.
And there's just not that many people.
No.
And you can eliminate like half of them that don't even know what a golf travel bag is.
Exactly.
Now, my one big question is, like, you hear this in all the true crime shows, how long do we keep the footage for? Like, how long back is it archived? It only goes back 7 days. No. So if it was gone 7 days ago, no, SOL.
It's a long time.
It was swiped last week.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get to the bottom of this. But what I heard in our meeting, you brought it up to our boss.
Yeah.
Jeff Baton Rouge, who is here in the building. Believe it or not, he's still alive.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in years.
We had a big meeting today about golf-related things, and that's what made me think of it. Like, what sort of staff are you running here, Jeff Austin?
He presented the idea.
Ludicrous, by the way.
He presented the idea that somebody just accidentally took it and will bring it back if they know that it's somebody else's.
Oh.
And I thought, I looked at him, I was like, are you?
So did you take it thinking that it was nobody's?
Right.
And
he must
it'll
have
just
it.
Show back the up again
on,
here?
The look on Rob's face.
I was like, what?
When Jeff, and then Jeff goes on, he's like, he goes, well, you know, sometimes stuff just like lays around the office. You know, we have prizes and, you know, and so if it sits there for a while.
But you're still not allowed to take it.
No, and here's the thing.
No.
If it was new with like tags on it, I could see someone being like, hey, was that a prize that never got picked up?
It was branded with a bunch of sponsor decals or something or said Fan Golf Classic on it. But yeah.
You can't just bring something in like from your house that's clearly used and then have someone be like, well, clearly no one wants it. I'm taking that.
Come on. Outside of like the bag of chips.
Yeah.
outside of, you know, like the Bic razor. We had like a big box of razors once. Like there are prizes, little things that sit around.
Batteries or something.
Batteries have been backed. And they sit around for so long that you're just like, I'm just going to take a couple of double A's, you know.
Yeah.
And that's totally different.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, $200-$300 golf travel bag.
Yes.
And it blows me away that he actually thinks
someone just
that's a thing. Yeah. Like, no, somebody stole the bag.
Yes.
And I think what he's doing is he knows that it's probably one of his guys.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to have to turf him.
He's softening the blow.
So he's like, well, if they return it, no questions asked. Like, no, we need to know who took this.
I do feel like there are some people out there, it's kind of like squatting. If something sits there like long enough that it's kind of just anybody's to take.
I'm sorry, but that is not
okay. It's not the way it works. I'm just saying there are people that operate that way.
Did you take the golf bag?
See, here's the thing. Immediately.
Show the tape. I did not.
Immediately, point at Ryan Buckley, and Rob brought up the fact, and it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
What is sitting out in front of Buckley's desk?
A different golf travel bag.
Different golf travel bag, and it's been sitting there for over a week.
That's right.
Because Rob, I guess, had an extra one.
Yeah, I gave it to him.
And you gave it to Buckley. It's been sitting there a lot like mine, out in the open, and I thought to myself, that son of a bitch. What better way to throw us off the scent?
Well, if you need one, you can have that one.
And so Buckley's like, no one will suspect me since I have this one. And it's convenient it's sitting out for over a week while mine has been stolen.
I already have one of the kind that you have at home, so I do not need one.
Yeah, this one is a hard case.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you are a golf travel bag thief, and you're in this building, you hit the lottery. There have been two of them just sitting out in the open.
Yeah, and Buckley, you better watch your back because someone out there has been eyeing that with their just like, I'm going two for two.
So look. We have spoken about it now, and I'm half expecting it to show back up.
It's going
to
be here tomorrow afternoon, isn't it?
And yes, no one will know who and...
You know what? It'll probably show up on Monday. It'll pop in over the weekend.
Look at you saying it's a weekend guy.
Seems kind of convenient that Buckley knows so much shows. About what's happening here. Look, Buckley's a suspect. No, can we?
The tape will exonerate me fully. So
tell you
I
who
have...
I'm looking squarely at.
What's it? Who's
Anthony Newman.
Oh. I thought you were going to say...
Old.
Well, I had another idea.
He comes in here once a week.
Yeah, you know who he works with?
Who?
Ryan Buckley.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a
that
whole
damn
ring.
Ducks Roundtable thing.
It is. The Ducks Roundtable. Ortner is suspicious, too. The Ducks Roundtable, I'm telling you.
Ortner.
Yeah.
Whole thing. Ortner's not enough of a golf guy.
This whole thing stinks to high heaven.
That's
and the
true.
Fact that Jeff Austin is clearly covering up for this golf bag thief, let me just say this right now. In election season, Jeff Austin, soft on golf
crime.
Stop
the steal.
Stop the steal, soft on crime. Yeah, that's what's happening around here, and I don't like it. This is how you make conservatives out of people, is stuff lawlessness like this.
Law and order.
Yeah.
I do think we should review the tape live on the air.
That'd be awesome.
Because it's going to be somebody we know.
We got to think, I mean, what is the, how many day window are we looking at here that we know?
Well,
when was it, when did you notice it missing?
Last week.
Okay. Well, there was a party out there Friday.
So that's what I'm.
It was gone.
Oh, already was?
It was already gone.
I was kind of circling that.
No, it was gone.
Little soirees.
No, it was gone. It was gone by then. Sometime last week, I thought maybe Joe had moved it, because the last time I think Joe's borrowed it a couple times and I think I said just throw it in the studio, you know, because we're in different times.
I even heard when you came in, you're like, hey, where's the bag? And he's like, it's in there, and you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, I just stuck it in the side, and it's so out of the way that it's easy just to forget about it, and so I thought maybe he had moved it or maybe he needed it again. And I asked him, I said, hey, did you move that? He goes, no, I put it right over there. I'm like, no, I saw it and it's gone. And then Joe was like, and I felt bad because Joe felt bad. And I said, dude, not your fault. You know, you didn't do anything. You stuck it over there. No big deal. I don't want Joe to feel bad about it. I had no problem loaning it to him. I just didn't expect anyone to snipe a golf travel bag. And I felt, now I feel a bit foolish because Rob locks his computer, his tablet. And his headphones and everything for the show, he locks them in we have like a little locker situation over in the bathroom. And I always laugh at him. I'm like, who's taking that? And I leave my laptop sitting in the studio, just sitting here because it's the only place I use it. And here I am.
It's foolish.
I'm making fun of Rob for being paranoid. Meanwhile, Now my stuff's getting stolen.
And this stuff gets stolen all the time around here. I had a coat stolen once.
Yeah.
Really nice coat. I keep wait. I still to this day look for somebody in that coat.
Yeah.
Because I think I know who did it.
Yeah.
But
it's suspicious.
So I walk it up. Yeah. I mean, this is a radio, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. There's not a lot of billionaires walking around here.
No.
Nope. You know, there's a lot of guys who are like, ah.
I'm just telling you, Jeff Austin.
Maybe I'll just snake that into my the back of my my little Prius.
Jeff was like, I'll send that. Jeff was like, I'll get to the. Jeff felt very confident that he was going to be able to get this golf bag back. I think he knows something. I think Jeff, this is a whole conspiracy.
But can we be clear? It is not okay.
No.
To just.
take something that isn't yours.
We cannot lay the groundwork for this excuse that, well, sometimes people just walk off with things and they don't really mean to. No.
Yeah.
It's theft.
Yes.
You can't do that. That's somebody else's golf
bag.
That's
not the way it works.
It's not the way it works. Not up in here.
If I bring a television in and I set it on the ground, you don't get to be like, well, clearly he doesn't want that TV and walk away with it. But it's weird that we do make that, you make the jump. You're like, well, I don't know. Why else would it be laying there if no one wants it?
Well.
That's not you to decide. That's not yours.
We're gonna
it's not
get
you
with,
to decide.
We got to go get to Joey back there.
Yeah.
And he's the one that can go back to the
rest. Is he here today? Is he not here now?
I don't know.
Unless someone has the guts to come in and just be like, yeah, man, sorry, I took it. You know what? I would appreciate that.
Well, they will, and they'll say, like, I mean, because we're going to get them on the tape.
Yeah.
So if they're smart, they'll be like.
You return it now and come up with your story.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought, I've seen it over there a couple times. I didn't know it was anybody.
It's been there for so long, I just figured, I like, just someone just didn't want it anymore.
And that's a bullshit excuse.
It
but
is.
But that is what's gonna, that's what it's going to be, though.
Well, here's the thing. If someone brings it back, we'll make fun of them, but that's it. But if we have to catch someone on film and they deny they're taking it, I'm going to be pissed. Because that means that you stole it and you're being a real rat bastard about it and you don't have the balls to bring it back and be like, oops, sorry.
Look, people have been fired for less.
Yeah.
RJ says, my suspect is Kurt Ledwig. He gave it away to a client after another drunken luncheon.
Oh. Unbelievable.
That's
he had
a
to deliver
call.
On a promise he couldn't keep. And
somebody else is pointing the finger at Kim, our GM.
Now she's leaving.
Yeah.
Although she is HR, she can't get caught.
Kim was pretty excited because she likes reviewing tape. Kim was very excited about the prospect of going through
this
the tape.
This will be fun.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, what I've learned is 1080 studios and offices are like the film Death Sport. It's a no-holds-barred survival game.
Apparently.
That it is.
And here's the thing. You would think of all people that would be wary of that, it'd be me, but I'm very trusting. I want to believe
you're just asking
that my coworkers are not going to be sons of bitches.
I don't. I got a coat. I got a coat on that thing and everything. You ain't taking my crap. Get out of here with that.
No, it's just it's disappointing. I was disappointed today in Jeff Austin for making excuses and Buckley for probably stealing my golf bag.
Someone said, "Label your lunch."
I would be stupid to say it wasn't me at this point if the tape is clearly going to say it's me.
That is true.
It wasn't.
I don't think it was Buckley.
I don't have your golf bag.
Label your lunch. If the name Sukarop is on it. It never gets touched. That again.
Shouldn't have to.
You guys, that's not the point.
It's not. And there's a difference between someone taking a leftover sandwich, maybe in the fridge. I can see if you
see. Or a $2 energy drink.
Yeah, a $2 energy drink. I'm sorry. There's a difference between that and a travel bag. There just is.
Yeah, Buck still has a job because that thing only costs $2.
Exactly.
This guy.
And I replaced those Monster Energies fourfold for
yes,
Adam.
Yes, you did.
This guy just, may not survive.
Which is, again. If a sandwich is in the fridge for 2 to 3 days, I get it. You want to take that sandwich, no one's going to be bent out of shape. You do not get to take the travel bag because it's been sitting by the studio.
The fan may have an opening real soon.
Will Ortner somewhere is... Ortner and Schultz are framing someone right now for this very for this very crime.
All right, let's start our show. Do you want to start a show, radio
show?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Show. Wednesday show. We love our Wednesdays here. We will start with Poll Question next on The Fan. All right. Welcome back to our show, Wednesday show. Coming up, we will have a follow-up on the ejected Yankee goobers from last night's World Series game.
It's kind of unbelievable, to be honest with you.
Kind of unbelievable?
Well, it's just, I mean, maybe it's not unbelievable. The fact that one person is friends with these people, it's just so on point.
Yeah. But and we have the audio, and you'll never believe who it is.
Yeah.
Or actually, you probably will.
Yeah. You're like, what the hell?
So that's coming up. Yeah. But first, our poll question. We put this on X every day, at 1080 The Fan. Give us a follow and vote. Vote really hard, okay? Yesterday, we asked you, who is your Heisman after 9 weeks? Ashton Gentry winning that poll, 56%.
He's been quite good.
Dylan Gabriel, 26%. Travis Hunter, 11%. Mm. And Cam Ward, just 7%.
I'm a little surprised that Hunter didn't get more more love. I mean, I know people don't like him in Colorado, but, dude, that guy is...
Should we not like him?
Well...
Has he done something that...
Not really.
Because it's really just Sanders.
It's the Sanders.
It's not... I haven't seen much of Travis
Hunter. He actually, by all accounts, seems like a really good kid. He's just getting caught in the jet wash.
Well, there was something recently where he said something about, like, well, Genty's got 95 carries to prove it. If I had 95 catches, I'd be just as good or something like that. And people are like, it doesn't really work like that.
I don't know. I don't know. Everything I've seen from him, he seems like a pretty quiet... laid back young guy, but what he's doing, it's Shohei Ohtani stuff. So to me, it's Travis Hunter, but I'm just, I get why people may not be paying attention to him or don't like him.
Does he have 50 home runs?
He does not have 50 home runs.
Is he a 50-50 guy?
But he plays like 140 snaps a game.
He won Big 12 Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week last week.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Because he had like 9 catches for 146 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he had 4 pass breakups.
Yeah, it's just,
who's the last player to do that?
I don't think it's ever been done.
I don't think anyone to that degree.
I don't think so.
Charles Woodson's had a game where he like played good on defense and had like a return touchdown and stuff like that, but I don't know about that.
Woodson was a gadget player on offense. In my lifetime, I've never seen a high D1 player that actually was a true two-way player. Hunter plays 90% of all the snaps.
He's good at both.
It's silly good.
Yeah, he only got 11%.
Yeah.
Today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan, which unbeaten gets upset this weekend?
Ooh.
Why are they cheering, do you think?
I don't know.
Oregon at Michigan.
No.
Indiana at Michigan State.
No.
Miami against Duke. Or Iowa State against Texas Tech. Those are your four options. I didn't give you Penn State because most people will vote for them to lose.
I think I would take I'll take the Dukies. Duke's not bad.
Really?
Duke's a good little team. And look, Miami can score a lot of points. Have you watched any of Miami play?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a fun offense, but
they are fun.
That is not a complete team by any stretch of the imagination, and they will let teams hang around and should have lost to Virginia Tech. Some people think they did. I still can't believe that Cal found a way to give that game away, and Louisville hung 45 on them. So, look, and this is me thinking Duke's going to win. Just of those, if you had to say which one of those is most likely, I'll take Duke simply because of I don't trust Miami. And you didn't give me the Penn State option.
No, I didn't give you that. Do you know that's the biggest spread of the four? Miami Duke?
Is it really?
Yeah, Miami's favored by over 3 tutties on them. I actually think Indiana could go down.
I think so too.
I mean, Texas Tech, I haven't seen them, so I don't know.
Early in the year, Texas Tech got drubbed by Washington State, but that doesn't look so bad anymore because it turns out Washington State's pretty good. The only other time that I saw Texas Tech was I saw them play Arizona State and they won, but they've lost 2 in a row. They lost to Baylor and they lost to TCU. So, you know, I don't know what Texas Tech is bringing to the table. I just haven't seen Indiana pressed. And to me, that's who's gonna do it. I mean, or excuse me, not Indiana, Iowa State. That one just seems...
Well, Iowa gave them all a run. They should have beat them.
Yeah. Texas Tech, I don't know. But I could see it, maybe.
I have no idea what Texas Tech is bringing to the table, I got nothing. But I have seen Indiana and I have seen Michigan State. I don't know, John Smith? It's at, it's in East Lansing.
All I know is at this point, Indiana has my attention, and I don't think, you know,
they're not that good, are they? I mean, this is where teams like this start to trip up.
Michigan State isn't very good. Unless Michigan State has changed over the last couple weeks, because when I've watched Michigan State, boy, I'll tell you what, whether it was the Ohio, and maybe this is unfair because it's Ohio State and Oregon, the two games I watched, they are dreadful. And did they lose to Michigan?
Well, I mean, they're not dreadful. They're 4-4. And they lost to Ohio State and Oregon and Michigan, and only Michigan by a tutty. I mean, they're not dreadful. They beat Iowa. I mean, they're not, you know.
And again,
they can rise up.
I'm open to the idea that maybe they've improved. But when I saw Aiden Childs play, I didn't hear any Beaver fan that was like,
he's not looked good.
I wish we still had him. Is he still the starter?
The other thing here, I think.
Good question. I think so.
The other thing here is it's Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of waiting for the other shooter. I know they're really good, but
we'll see.
Prove it on the road.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't played anybody.
No. No, they haven't.
Nebraska.
Nebraska was their big test, and they hung 56 on them.
But that was at home.
That was at home.
So now they're on the road. Yeah. It's November.
The witches of November.
That's right. So vote hard. Right there on X at 1080 The Fan. Which unbeaten gets upset this weekend? We will get to our Oregon-Michigan Trundle Thunder coming up.
That's fantastic.
We didn't have time here, but I don't think many people think Oregon is going down.
I don't think so.
But I don't know. Certainly we need to talk about it.
Certainly doesn't feel very concernicus.
You know what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
Yeah, he's going to get... Well, you know what Lanning's doing? Hmm. You know, we're not getting him on this week.
No.
Because they're traveling tomorrow. Yeah. And he is teeing up the primetime jinx.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. If they lose.
Yeah. Every time that he's come on this airwaves this year, they've won.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
Yeah. So if they lose.
I wouldn't bring it up, by the way. If they lose, I wouldn't recommend bringing that up.
Well.
Wouldn't we be obligated to?
I think we have to, yeah. Look, somebody has to have courage around here. It's clearly not you.
How would that conversation go?
Well, you ducked us, coach. You ducked us.
So you're busy and all that, but
can you stab someone in the face with a soldering iron through the phone? Is that possible?
We are not to be ducked.
No.
Now, if they win, yeah, then it's fine. Doesn't really matter.
Duck us all.
But they've teed it up.
Yeah,
they've teed it up, Jace.
They lose to a team that can't throw the ball from me to you. They got bigger problems.
So we'll get to that coming up. But let's give you a follow up on the Yankee fans that were ejected last night. Got a little info on that. And guess who was friends with one of them? That's next. Here's Buck. Okay, well, to tee up game 5 of the World Series tonight, Dodgers up 3-1. Yankees won last night, 11-4.
Well, it was so weird. We talked about this before the game. I'm like, does Dave Roberts kind of punt on this game? Like, put one arm behind his back? And we saw it in the 8th inning. He did. He conceded a World Series game.
Yeah, and it was 6-4.
It was 6-4.
And he put in his bad arms.
Yes.
And they gave up 5 runs.
Yeah. And someone asked him after the game, and they said, was there any thought to using one of your high leverage relievers? And he said, down by 2 in that situation, no. He basically said, I'm not going to risk tiring out anyone for a game that we're probably going to lose. And look, I think it's actually the smart decision to make, knowing that you've got 3 to 4 to win one. But I'm just saying, conceding a World Series game is a pretty ballsy move.
Yeah, I don't think you ever do that. But in his defense, in game 3, the Dodgers used 6 key arms.
Yes,
and they threw a combined 100 pitches.
See, Dave Roberts said anyone that pitched in this game, Game 4, was not going to be available in Game 5.
Exactly.
And so he just goes, he told everyone, I guess, he goes, we're not using those arms. Now, I'm guessing if that's the Dodgers have the lead and you have a chance to close that out, that's probably different. But down by 2, it sounds like, at least according to him, if you believe him, it was never an option.
So anyway, the bigger story from that game was the two fans.
Yeah, the two chuckle butts.
Who the one guy who pulled the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. We were live on the air when it happened. It was quite shocking.
Yeah.
Well, they are kind of treating these guys with kid gloves in a way.
And they're being branded as heroes, basically, by Yankee faithful.
Now, Yankee fan, again, how fans react to other fans, that's to be expected. I actually expected the Yankees to banish these guys for life. They did not.
No.
They actually said that they were going to come back for Game 5 because they have tickets for Game 5.
They're season ticket holders.
But Major League Baseball came in and said, no. They are not going to be there for Game 5. And so the Yankees told them they can't, but they gave them their money back.
Yeah. Yeah, they refunded their money.
And
by the way, the Yankees, they're not banned. They'll still be season ticket holders next year.
They just have to miss this game.
Well, did you see the interview with the two bros?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm getting ready to read some quotes
here. Read
the main bro spent the morning at Barstool HQ. They've been on all the pod. Like, they're turning them into celebrities.
Yes. Talk to a girl.
Yeah.
All over again.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I just...
So the guy's names are, and forgive me if I don't get this right.
Yeah.
His name is Austin
Capobianco.
Capobianco?
Something like that.
He was the one who ripped the ball out of the glove. And the other guy, the accomplice, was John Peter.
Yeah.
And here's what they said, because ESPN caught up with them after the game.
They were at a bar, shocker.
And it's Capabianco told ESPN, "We always joke about the ball in our area. We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. Someone defends, someone knocks the ball. We talk about it. We're willing to do this." Yeah. Then it writes, ESPN writes, Capabianco admitted that he knew he was in the wrong and knew that he would be removed from the stadium. He added that he patrols that wall and that they know that. Yeah. Regardless, Major League Baseball's rulebook states the following: when there is a spectator interference, when there is spectator interference with any thrown or batted ball, the ball shall be dead at the moment of interference, and the umpire shall impose such penalties as, in his opinion, will nullify the act of interference.
Did these two dumbasses realize that their actions will only hurt the Yankees? Like, you realize that when a ball's coming that way, that by doing this, you're guaranteeing the Yankees an out. Like, we're patrolling that wall. If you want to know everything that's wrong with Yankee fan, I give you these two dumbasses right here.
Couldn't agree more. And they'll be back next season.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing is
heroes.
I just feel like
celebrities.
I feel like they're basically saying, we'll do this again. This is what we do.
Yes.
And that is different than being, oh man, we got caught up in the moment. Yes. And I shouldn't have done that.
They said this was premeditated.
This is what we do.
They talked about it. And by the way, one of them literally grabs Mookie Betts by the arm. In what world are you allowed to reach out and grab a player?
That guy should never come back to any Major League Baseball game.
No.
I mean, like, I'm not trying to be like all Pollyanna about it, but
they gave him his money back.
They gave him his money back.
I just think that's unbelievable. And Betts was pissed, and I was looking for his quotes, but he didn't. He punted on it.
Yeah, he said, we lost the game.
He's like, it doesn't matter. I'm moving on. But you know, he was livid. And we have audio.
Yeah.
Do you like radio audio?
Yeah, I love sports audio.
Okay, so I don't know who this gal is. Do we know who this gal is?
This is Kay Adams. Yeah,
Kay Adams.
She does an NFL show called Up and Adams. Yeah. She was on NFL Network for a while now. I think she's part of the FanDuel Network, something like that.
Okay. She's got a show, and she had Rob Gronkowski on there.
Yep.
She's a hot.
And here is how, because they were talking about this and the fans, the Mookie Betts thing, and here is what Gronk said.
What we're seeing here.
This is actually the first time I'm seeing this live. Okay. And here's a little fun fact. That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove.
Don't tell me you know
was
him.
My friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable just how wild
animals?
These guys. Animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly, just doing whatever it takes to help his team out. But he's a beauty. He is a beauty.
Okay, hold
on. I just want to say congratulations.
Congratulations!
For shining when your moment came.
Yeah. See,
it's pathetic. They're going to get made into social media stars
because of opinions like that from meatheads like Gronk.
What happens when you grab a player and then Mookie Betts punches one of them in the face because he's being grabbed? What happens when Mookie Betts gets his wrist broken because someone won't let go of his glove and it's awkwardly extended over a wall? Like, and the Yankees were literally like, you can come back for game 5. Major League Baseball had to step in. Someone with the Yankees needs to pull their head out of their ass and not let these guys back in. I'm trying to think of any situation where a fan reaches out and physically grabs a player and nothing is done to him. And then after the fact, brags about it, says, I've thought about doing it. We've talked about doing it and I will do it again. And says, I patrol that wall. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
and
you're
wonder
on patrol,
why
pal.
We hate New York and New York Yankee fans.
All right.
And by the way, Gronk, what an ass clown.
Gronk doubled down with a tweet that said, Austin was a college friend, very passionate about the teams he represents, will do anything for them. A menace, wild boy as well.
Yeah,
he is the person that undoubtedly would say he would do that and then actually do it. Maniac status since college has been confirmed.
You know, why is that a positive thing?
Well, because this is what bros and meatheads like these guys, this is what they glorify.
Yeah.
By the way, make no mistake, you and I both know this, and most of our guys listening know this. When freaking Rob Gronkowski is calling you an animal, dude, you're an animal. Yeah. I'm sure that that guy has done some stuff. And
University of Arizona club ice hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. He's got some stories.
We know this guy, and he's a douchebag, and there's just a lot of guys like this in and around sports, and it sucks that they're being treated so positively. I think it's bizarre. I got to tell you, man, sports, and I hate to sound like the old guy, but look at my hair. I'm gray. I'm almost 50. Yeah. Sports are starting to get to me. Yeah. For things like this. Yeah. Like, what world are we living in?
I don't know.
You know, like, some of this stuff just really drives me crazy. Like, the one thing that's gotten to me lately, as we've talked about, is coaches, you know, just like, just the football, the FIBU mentality, you know, just is, it's very cult-like. Yeah. Like, it comes across to me as kind of sick, in a way. And football programs really promote it, and I think it's weird and odd, and... I don't know. Sports are really starting to bother me.
I can see why, because
it's annoying.
It's like anything else. Going viral is going viral, and there's no such thing anymore as negatively going viral, right?
Well, that's not just sports. I get the going viral thing. I'm shocked at the way these guys are being treated.
Yeah. Someone pointed out. And I'm curious on your thought on this. Is it demonstrate a big time cultural shift? Because Bartman interfered basically by accident. And I mean, he was trying to catch the ball, but he wasn't assaulting Moises Alou, and everyone was all over him and he couldn't show his face ever again. I know it was for the other team. I get that still, but like that these guys intentionally did something and are getting glorified and he accidentally did something and had to basically go into hiding for the rest of his
life.
Well, the Bartman thing is much different.
That's a different,
because that was, I don't know if, I mean, do you remember that?
Of course. Yeah.
So the Cubs were on the brink of winning that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And pretty much every Cub fan, whether it's right or wrong, everyone blamed Bartman for that inning, because if Alou catches that ball,
it's over.
The inning is over and they probably win the game. Yeah. But apparently if I remember correctly, right after Bartman screwed that up and they did not get the out, they gave up like 7 runs and lost.
Yeah.
And it's like the curse thing. And, you know, it was a very big deal there. And it was totally unfair what happened to Bartman, in my opinion. I mean, just basic humanity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're two pretty different.
Of course, but it was still like, people were like, the audacity to try to touch a ball at a game like that. I mean, like, regardless of who it affected, the whole country was in an outrage over it. And the whole country is not in an outrage over what these guys did.
On the Vancouver Vortex line, am I missing something? Is there an unwritten rule here? I didn't find this a big deal and just moved on. Two fans literally grabbed and wrestled with Mookie Betts.
I guess that's the attitude that really is bothering me. How do you not see it? You don't have to agree with it.
If someone caught a touchdown pass in Green Bay and then, you know, as they were running, got to the wall and two Packer fans reached over and grabbed him by the helmet and then started trying to rip the ball out of his hands, the NFL would not welcome those guys back with open arms. I'm with you. Maybe we're both just old, because I got a gray beard too. I just was surprised. I was surprised at the lack of, other players and like I heard from lots of other sports figures that were like, unbelievable. These dumbasses should never be allowed back in. But Major League Baseball and certainly the Yankees and certainly the Barstool crowds, you know, I think these guys are celebrating it. Someone said Michael Irvin was talking about how much ass these guys were going to get off of it. And I guarantee these guys are not buying drinks in New York anytime soon. They're going to be cult heroes.
Yeah. And it's just the bro-y thing.
Yeah, New York folks are calling them the guys that might have saved the Yankees season.
New York.
Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's that. Yeah. There is a game tonight.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Dodgers kick the crap out of those guys.
Stomp them out.
The Yankees won 11-4 last night. So now it's Flaherty, and Cole.
Yeah. So go Dodgers. I've never wanted the Yankees to lose more, and believe me, I've wanted them to lose plenty of times.
We'll get to our Oregon-Michigan Trundle Thunder coming up on The Fan. All right, now to our Oregon-Michigan Trundle Thunder. Got a couple numbers here for you.
Let's thunder away.
Well, look, much like last week, I don't think many people are worried about this game.
You know, which is weird, because it's
I know
it's at Michigan.
Yeah, And think about just like maybe what, month and a half ago, what we were saying. We're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Because Michigan beat, who'd they beat? They beat...
Beat USC.
USC. And we thought that was a really nice win at the time.
Yeah.
Now we're like,
Then we see Michigan, who just, I mean, they've been through three quarterbacks. One had to retire. One of them is just a stiff, and the other one can't throw. It's like... And I think they're back to the first guy. I think they're back to Warren, who was the original starter who sucks. So
Davis Warren.
Yeah.
And then the other guy runs Orgy.
Orgy, who I still can't believe at one point, someone told me that that was the number one high school recruit in the country, that Alex Orgy.
I didn't realize that.
At quarterback?
At quarterback. And then, like, you watch that kid play, and you're like, what? I mean, no offense to him. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. He's a great athlete. But, my God, I don't know if I've ever seen someone throw the ball worse.
Look, I would say that this game probably shouldn't be taken as lightly as last week.
Yeah.
Because Michigan just overall has better talent than Illinois.
Yeah, and they have good
defense. And this game's on the road. Yeah. So their defensive line, this is going to be a good test for Oregon's offensive front.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not that Michigan can't win. I just don't know how. I don't know how they score enough to win, but you never know. I mean, you get a couple turnovers,
sure,
a couple short fields.
Yeah. Well,
special teams plays.
Michigan is going to try to play the game one way and one way only.
Well, yeah.
It's the only way they can. It's going to be like the old Stanford.
Same way Illinois tried to play
last
week.
You're going to try to limit this game to, you know, five possessions a half and try to come up with a turnover and then just run the ball, maybe a trick play, maybe a special teams play, and just try to drag them into deep water. If Michigan wins this game, they need it to be won 21-17. They need it 19-17.
It's the only way they're going
to win. It's the only way to win.
But the whole world knows that,
and
they've known that for years about Michigan, and yet they've won a lot of damn games.
Yeah, they have.
So tread lightly on this, but the spread is like 16.5.
Yeah.
So
well, Oregon's balanced.
They are.
And
they're tough. I mean, I don't think anybody's really worried.
Certainly,
and it's a weird spot.
Certainly doesn't seem that way.
Isn't it a weird place to be that Oregon's number one, they're going to Michigan, and it's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's kind of strange.
How far they've come. Michigan is a double-digit home dog. For the fourth time since 1990, the other three were all against Ohio State, and Michigan lost by double digits all three times. So this doesn't happen often.
No, but when it does.
But when it does, they're down. There's a reason they're double-digit dog, and they don't rise up.
Well, you think about it, right? They've already lost three times. They should have lost four. Still can't believe USC, beat them. They just... You know, and then the win against Minnesota was a field goal win. It's not a very good Michigan team right now. They lost all that to the NFL. They lost their head coach, and they just don't have an offense to speak of. So this is one of those games where it's Michigan, and you have to respect it because you know overall there's talent there, and it's a tough environment to play, and there's uniforms, and it's the name on the helmet. But if you took that off and you just stripped away and you played black versus white jerseys, right? And you watched Michigan play, there would be nothing about Michigan that would particularly scare you about this football game.
Well, we were talking about this earlier in the week, but the Big Ten, while I think top to bottom tougher than the Pac-12, these teams like Michigan, Iowa to some extent, Illinois certainly last week, these teams that don't have high-powered offenses, that just, you know, have good cultures and big boys up front and you know, what's the old saying? 3 yards in a cloud of dust or something?
Yep.
They're not teams that you feel real worried about being upset by.
Yeah.
Whereas the old Pac-12, it's odd because I think the Big Ten is better than the Pac-12.
Yeah.
All the Pac-12 teams are struggling outside of Oregon.
Yep.
In new leagues. But, well, not Washington State. Oregon and Washington State, but eight of the 12. Yeah. So if you say Colorado, Arizona State, Oregon, Washington State, the other eight, I mean, what's going on?
Not a whole lot.
So they've left the Pac-12 and they're not having a lot of success. Now, Oregon's built different and they're just that talented, but you know, it's almost like they would be more upset prone in the Pac-12 because in the Pac-12
score,
there's at least high powered offenses. Yeah. These teams, like just on paper, the Michigans and the Iowas and these teams that are built this way, they don't scare you any more than the bottom feeders of the Pac-12 because they just have no offense.
Yeah.
But if you played USC, you know you're better than USC. But you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, it kind of scares
USC
you.
USC could score. They got a good, pretty good quarterback, you know.
Around.
So well, and there's something about the Big Ten that just – the way Oregon is built this year, they're not going to stumble against these teams like this.
No, because I don't think they're going to get pushed around. Because, look, Michigan still has two really good backs in Mullins and Edwards. They have an NFL tight end in Loveland. But you don't have anyone that can get you the ball, and you can play an eight-man front. You just can. And you've got good corners if you're Oregon. So play man on the outside and dare someone to throw the ball against you at Michigan. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Graham's good. Who is it? Josiah Stewart, their edge rusher. Will Johnson, who's an NFL corner, although he's kind of had an up and down year. So like there's good players over there, but it feels like there's good players in spots. And it feels like Oregon just has good players and depth across the board. And we know in no matter what realm of football you're playing, when you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to win and it's hard to be consistent. And as long as Dylan Gabriel's back there, I just against teams like this, like you said, it just doesn't scare
you
me.
Trust
that much.
Them. Yeah. All right. I've got more Trundle Thunder. You know, Dan Lanning's got some pretty good road numbers. I don't know if you know that.
No, I have not paid attention to the road numbers.
Why not? You're a sports guy.
It's only been a year.
Come on, man.
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
He's going to cook on people's grills.
You know what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
This is year three, bro.
Well, he hasn't lost many games, so I think he has probably good numbers across the board.
Yeah, five losses.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have good numbers against Washington.
That's true.
Tell you that, bro.
That's a valid point.
Three of those five against the UW. My UW dogs.
That's right. They cooked on his grill. And their own.
Three times.
Yeah.
They cooked on all the grills.
They did. They've cooked everywhere. They hibachied it, is what
they're eating the dogs.
Something tells me that won't be the case in a couple of weeks.
More on this next on The Fan.